It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Ryatt. It's Wednesday, July 6th, 2022. On today's ship schedule, we have 4 inbounders, we have 3 outbounders, and we have 4 vessels anchored in the river near Astoria. In our marine weather forecast, we have southwest winds to 5 knots becoming west in the afternoon, wind waves from the southwest, 2 feet high at 4 seconds apart, matching that wind direction, and we have west swells, 3 feet high at 10 seconds apart, and areas of fog in the morning. And today we're going to be talking about a pretty amazing rescue in Florida waters of a man who fell overboard and was able to float without a life jacket for 4 hours before being rescued. That's something that's unlikely to happen here, and we'll talk about why. But let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We've got those 4 inbounders. The first is the Moss Confidence. She's arriving from Mexico, headed for Calama's anchorage. She's going to be picking up wheat at the port of Calama, and she'll pass Astoria in the afternoon. So our first inbound ship is not until the mid-afternoon, around 3:30. She'll pass Astoria and be in Calama by 8:30 p.m. The African Owl is arriving from Vietnam, headed for Portland. I think she's carrying cement. She'll pass Astoria around 5 p.m. and be in Portland by about 11 p.m. Around 6:30 in the Astoria anchorage, we'll see a ship called the Marianne Stoger arrive from Japan. She will be picking up wheat eventually upriver, but she has kind of an unusual name. She's named for a nurse from Austria, Sister Marianne Stoger, who was awarded in 2021 the Florence Nightingale Medal, recognizing her for more than 40 years of dedicated service to leprosy patients on South Korea's remote Sorok Island. And this ship was built in South Korea and is owned by a South Korean company. Sister Marianne Stoger is called the Angel of Sorok Island. So an interesting story behind that ship name. And the Louisiana is arriving from Long Beach, California, headed for Portland. She's a petroleum tanker. She'll pass Astoria around 9:30 p.m. and be in Portland by about 3:30 a.m. on Thursday. In our outbounders, we have the Lafrenée heading out of Calama. She came in with steel on board, leaving around 2 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 7 p.m. The S.E. Kelly is leaving Vancouver carrying, I think she brought in wood, not sure if she has cargo outbound. If so, if she doesn't, she'll have ballast water on board. Leaving around 10 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 4 a.m. on Thursday. And the Panagia Stenion is leaving Calama carrying wheat around 10:30 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 3:30 a.m. on Thursday. In Astoria's anchorage, we have the Panceras headed for Calama. Corn, soy, or wheat she'll be picking up there. Leaving around 2 a.m., she could be in Calama by about 7 a.m. The PRT Bell is headed for the Rainier anchorage opposite Longview on the Columbia. She'll be picking up wheat, I think, at the port of Longview, leaving around 5 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 8:30 p.m. And that leaves 2 ships awaiting orders in the Astoria anchorage, the Sophia Z and the Bryant. Well, today I'd like to talk with you again about water temperature and how it affects a person's survivability in the water. One thing that rescuers worry about in our Pacific Northwest waters is that the water is cold year-round, and along with heavy rip currents on the beaches here and strong currents offshore, it makes for dangerous swimming. That's why there's so much worry and concern when someone is in the water here, as we saw with a situation on the Long Beach Peninsula this weekend. The young person in the water was able to get themselves to shore safely, so the situation had a happy ending. I'd like to contrast this with swimming elsewhere, where the water is warmer, and why stories like the one I'll share with you here today give people an unrealistic view of their chances of surviving if they go into the water. I saw this story on the MaritimeExecutive.com website. It's about a fishing boat captain in the waters off Panama City, Florida. He fell overboard and was rescued 4 hours later after he'd floated in the water all that time without a life jacket. A crew member on his boat called for help, and the man was eventually found and rescued unharmed by a Good Samaritan, another fishing boat. And in fact, he safely navigated his own boat back to port after he got on board. So this sounds pretty ideal, doesn't it? And it makes it sound like going overboard might not be that much of a big deal. Well, that is just not true. A Coast Guard spokesperson noted that surviving for 4 hours in the water with no flotation is not something just anyone could do. This man must have been a good swimmer, or at least comfortable being in the water. The incident also happened in the early morning, so the search happened in daylight. He was extremely level-headed and kept himself afloat until he was found. But he also had a couple of huge factors on his side in this situation, the water and air temperatures. I looked up the water and air temperature for Panama City, Florida. I found air temperatures in the low 90s and 85-degree water temperature. That's like a bathtub. So while falling overboard is dangerous no matter what the conditions, this man had a lot going in his favor. Had this happened here, the outcome is unlikely to have been so fortunate. If we take a look at water temperature and its effect on hypothermia onset, we'll see that it's a very different story depending on where you are. In water temperatures like we have here right now in the high 50s in the ocean, the water is cold and the air temperature could be in the 60s, which can cause wind chill on wet skin. Time to exhaustion or unconsciousness at those temperatures is about an hour max, and the outside window of survival is about 3 hours, and that's optimistic. But that's assuming the person had some flotation. A person without a life jacket, like a swimmer caught on a rip current, would lose mobility well before then and be unable to swim or even tread water without something to hold them up. In Florida's 85-degree water with such warm air, a person could in theory survive indefinitely as long as they could stay afloat. Under those conditions, a person who knows how to tread water could last a very long time if they kept their wits about them and didn't panic. This is why you see search and rescue operations in places like Florida and Hawaii, tropical places, going on for days, much longer than they would here. Because the potential survival window is so long in these warm places that they are consistently warm enough to allow the ocean to warm up too. So while it's great that this man survived unharmed, don't make the mistake of drawing parallels between Florida and the Pacific Northwest. We do have some warm days every summer that might make a person think for a moment that they might be in Florida, but the air temperatures never stay high enough long enough here to raise the ocean temperature much above the low 60s, and that's still too cold to count on surviving very long if you end up in the water without a wetsuit, a life jacket, or some kind of flotation to hold you up. So the bottom line, all those warnings about don't turn your back on the ocean and stay out of the surf, it's not officials being overly cautious. It's really just common sense and the best way to respect the conditions that are simply reality here on the North Coast so that you can survive that trip to the beach. You've been listening to The Ship Report, a show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening and have a great day.